WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center, and always on the Civic Media app.
This is a special report from ABC News, California Wildfires. I'm Michelle Franzen. Four major fires burning in Los Angeles County. At least two people are dead. 70,000 residents under evacuation orders. ABC's Alex Stone is in Altadena near the Eaton Fire.
The streets around here, the homes are gone. This is where right now the flames are moving from home to home and building to building, and they're trying to knock that down with the winds getting gusty again, but not anywhere close to the 100-mile-an-hour winds that we were getting earlier today.
Los Angeles County Board Chair Supervisor Catherine Barger has more on the overall fire picture across L.A. County.
This is a dynamic situation. We've got fires throughout the entire county, which are spreading our resources very short. One of the things that people ask me is, what do you want to convey to the public? And that is, heed the advice of first responders. When they ask you to evacuate, evacuate.
L.A. fire officials say there's not enough firefighters in L.A. County to address four separate fires. This is ABC News.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
For WRCE 107.7 FM News, I'm Joanne Krulatz.
Richland County Administrator Candace Pesch attended her final Board of Supervisors meeting last night. Her final day serving the county is today. Among the items confirmed at last night's meeting was to fill her position. At the county's request, County Clerk Derek Kalish was asked to serve as the interim administrator. The board approved Kalish to assume the interim position beginning tomorrow and terminating when a permanent administrator is appointed. During his service as interim county administrator, Kalish will be paid a monthly salary of $11,146. For the interim, the board also appointed an assistant administrator. County Highway Commissioner Josh Elder has been appointed to this position. During his service as interim deputy county administrator, Elder shall be paid his normal monthly salary unless otherwise mutually agreed to by the parties. The board then approved to enter into a contract with Public Administration Associates, LLC, in an amount not to exceed $22,750 for services provided in recruiting to fill the county administrator vacancy. Also approved was the creation and filling of a payroll and benefits assistance position. Richland County employs over 450 staff with seven different payrolls, and there are currently various departmental staff that assist in preparation of time cards and payroll reporting. There is currently only one staff in administration that processes the payroll, resulting in the need for unsustainable amounts of overtime for one individual. The payroll assistant position will be paid in the range of $53,476 to $66,435 per year.
For WRCE News, I'm Joanne Krulatz.
Marquette wins again. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Marquette Golden Eagles with a comeback win in Milwaukee over the Georgetown Hoyas. Final score 74-66. Head coach Shaka Smart.
We get down 14. We're not shooting the ball well. The zone stymied us to some extent. It would have been easy for us to get bummed out, and I thought our guys did a great job collecting each other, helping each other. Have the spirit that we needed to have to win the game.
NBA, the Bucks host the San Antonio Spurs tonight at Five Sir Forum. Former Marquette star Jimmy Butler says he wants out of Miami, but doesn't want the Heat to trade him to Milwaukee. NFL wildcard playoffs this weekend, the Packers and the Eagles Sunday at 3:30. Matt LaFleur on one of the things that stands out about Philadelphia.
I just feel like the defense is, I mean, they're humming right now. It's a very talented defense. You can tell that they've got everybody on the same page. They got superstars on every level of the defense.
As Packers head coach Matt LaFleur. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
Partly cloudy and crisp today. High temperatures only climb to the low 20s and plummet to near 10 tonight. Waking up tomorrow morning, we could see some sunshine with clouds increasing and temperatures rising to the upper 20s. All ahead of some light snow moving in at night. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Currently, it's 23.
Matt Nair on Air.
It is our 1-year anniversary here on Matt Nair on Air. Thank you, Greg and Calvin. for being on this journey with me. It's been great.
Thanks for having me. I can't speak for Calvin.
I'm always thrilled to be here.
Unbridled.
The enthusiasm
enjoyment.
Brimming over from you, Calvin. I'm overwhelmed. Thank you.
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. The Todd Alba Show.
Donald J. Trump has been officially certified the winner of the 2024 election the way that the Constitution dictates. You see how simple that is? There's a vote, you certify the results, democracy moves on. You might not like the results. The person I wanted to have elected didn't win, but that's the way democracy works. Unlike 4 years ago on January 6th, where rioters stormed the Capitol.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Todd Alba.
Hey everybody, join us next time as we'll take a look at what's to come in the 119th Congress. What issues are important to you and what's realistic to get done. Join us.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays noon till 2. This is News from the Center, WRCE.
What is up, Wisconsin? What's up, everybody? How you doing? I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. We got Cardi back in the booth, y'all, and a jam-packed show for you today. It's going to be one of those shows, a vintage Maggie show, if you will. Lots of wonk. I'm your favorite lawyer lady and economist on the air here. And we're going to go a little bit into the weeds here about the H-1B visa kerfuffle that has fractured the MAGA party a wee bit. It's been very interesting to watch, as Jasmine Crockett put it on Twitter, like, grab your popcorn, y'all, because they're having a little bit of a fight internal to the GOP. Now, there are a whole bunch of angles and what does this mean about this fight within the GOP. We're going to get to all of that. Your participation, what you think about this, is always welcome. 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. But I will stitch it all together. I'm not going to get to all of the implications. But what I think is glaringly obvious about what this situation reveals regarding the MAGA movement. And I think it's pretty clear. And when you start coupling what this particular internecine MAGA fight means, when you couple this fight with the near miss with Speaker Johnson's reelection as Speaker, when you couple it with what we are going to see in terms of the new tax plan that comes out of the Trump White House, I think what that means for each and every one of you and your families and your pocketbooks becomes, frankly, undeniable. I'm going to put all that together for you today. And since we're doing a wee bit of wonk together on the show, we're going to also get some relief in the spirit of wonkiness. I'm a huge nerd. You all know that if you listen frequently. And one of the things that I'm a big nerd about are board games. And as we were talking yesterday about resolutions in this new year, for me, intentions, one of my intentions is to play more. And for me, that means playing more board games. We're going to talk in the second hour about your favorite board games. If you want to talk about some of your New Year's resolutions or intentions, we'll get to all of that. Because again, can't do politics all the time. we would drive ourselves nuts because there's just going to be so much nonsense going on these days. I also want to let you know, got a great interview and guest for you tomorrow at 2 p.m. tomorrow, right at the top of the show. So 24 hours from today, I'm going to be joined by Wisconsin Senator Tammy Baldwin. We're going to be talking about Tammy Baldwin's bill that President Biden just signed to create a monument to women's suffrage on the National Mall. That is going to be happening thanks to Tammy Baldwin. In my opinion, it's gosh darn about time. And I think it's an interesting, it tells us a lot, and it'll speak to where we sit in terms of women in government and women's rights, especially as Republicans in this state, led by Robin Voss, continue to deny voters, you and I, the same powers that the legislature enjoys when it comes to referendum. So many other states, voters can directly demand referendum in their state to change the Constitution, to weigh in on certain issues of high importance. But here, the GOP, led by Darth Vader, Robin Voss, our own little version of Darth Vader, refused to allow voters to speak our will directly. And they do that so that they can keep this power, unlike in many, many other states, to use it as a political maneuvering tool to engage in performative politics. I haven't talked to you all about performative politics in a while. That's one of the things I talk about all the time. What's performative politics? It's the exercise of power simply because you can, and or the exercise of power simply to raise your profile, not because you believe what you're saying, not because you believe it will do any good. Again, the exercise of power for power's sake, or the exercise of political power simply to raise your profile or to get press or poke fun, or not for any legitimate policy reason. That's performative politics. Robin Voss's middle name is our performative politics. So that's coming up tomorrow at 2 o'clock. Also tomorrow, really excited to bring on a former colleague of mine, a former state representative and the former Milwaukee County clerk and a former Milwaukee County supervisor. His name's Joe Czarnecki. He wrote a memorialization for President Jimmy Carter and published it. He had met President Carter many times, worked with him in President Carter's efforts for Habitat for Humanity and human dignity as a larger concept. And I'm going to talk to Joe about his work with President Carter and what Carter's legacy is, both as a president, but over the man's entire life. What is his life's legacy? Because really, those are two separate questions. So big, big show tomorrow. Of course, it's Thursday, so I'll be joined by one of the most reasonable men in politics, Tom Pawlowitz. He'll join me as a special guest co-host. So really, really jam-packed show. Folks, we're going to dive right in to this basically battle that has erupted within the MAGA movement over H-1B visas. 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. That's 855-752-4842. Join us. We got some callers already on the line. I'm going to get to you. Let's just start. If you are not familiar with what the H-1B visa program is, it allows thousands of foreigners to come to the U.S. to work in the U.S. for up to 6 years. And the program is supposed to be designed to help businesses when there is a shortage of highly skilled workers. Okay, so think like engineering, technology, medicine, research, those kinds of highly skilled workers that a business simply just cannot find enough people in the United States to fill the jobs that they have. That is the H-1B visa program. For example, Elon Musk came here on an H-1B visa. So that's an example. Now, how the system gets used in practice is a different matter entirely, okay? And what we may get to the practicalities of the program, the pros and cons of the program, because there are reforms that I think would help, but at base, basically there is a cap on the number. It's just an arbitrary cap. Each administration sets like how many H-1B visas are going to be permitted every year. The Biden administration currently has it capped at 85,000 visas per year. The Biden administration has taken steps to sort of streamline the process. They expanded the definition of, quote, specialty occupations more broadly than had Trump. And they also took great pains to articulate and clarify which nonprofit and government research organizations actually were able to bring workers over via the program. So that's just some like basic operations. So you can see where this might lead, right? Because if you had to recall, if we forgot, it's been 2 months, if you've taken some time off from politics as I did over the holidays, what were the main sort of campaign themes from the Trump campaign, right? Well, I'm gonna make everything great for the middle class, right? That was the whole thing. Like, eggs are too expensive. Inflation, by the way, inflation's great. It's expected to go down even further. That's Joe Biden. But inflation, right? That's the big thing. I'm going to make it perfect. I'm going to make it great. I'm going to make it, people are going to do better than they ever have. Okay. That's the middle, what I'm going to call the middle class set of economic promises. Okay. However you want to list those out. That was sort of tranche or silo number one. Silo number two was immigration. And I'm going to shut it down. I'm going to fix it. I know how to do this. I'm the only one that knows how to do this. You're in danger. And it's because of immigrants. Of course, that's a lie. But it was immigration. You get beyond that and it gets, well, not a lot of there about it. Maybe you can sort of put up a big category of sort of Christian right evangelical, what I call bodies in bedrooms type of set of issues. But what we're talking about is Donald Trump ran on basically a wholesale opposition to immigration. But as we know, the shadow president, his now right-hand man advisor, is Elon Musk, a guy who gave him over $250 million to campaign with, who bought one of the most powerful communication platforms in the world for over $40 billion and took all controls off of it, created basically a swamp of right-wing speech on X. Elon Musk is a tech guy. Can you see where the conflict might be coming? So we're going to come back. I'm going to talk up to you about this conflict, what that means for you and yours, right? And then why does this, where do we go from the conflict? How do we extrapolate? What does it mean, really? Is it really about immigration? Is it really about having enough tech workers? Or is it about something else entirely? You're going to want to keep it locked right here. Calls and text lines are open, 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. You're listening to your friendly lawyer, lady, and economist, and board game nerd right here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Keep it locked, y'all. Cardi's on the board. We're going to have some fun this afternoon, even though we're going to do some work in the walk.
Keep running because the winner don't quit on themselves. You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE.
If you're living with dry age-related macular degeneration or dry AMD, you may be at risk for developing geographic atrophy or GA. GA can be unpredictable and progress rapidly, leading to irreversible vision loss. Now there's something you can do to
slow it down. Slower.
Izervay is proven to slow GA progression.
Izervay. IZERVAY gets GA going slower.
IZERVAY or Avacin Captid Pagel is a prescription eye injection used to treat GA. Don't take it if you have an infection or active swelling in or around your eye. IZERVAY can cause eye infection, retinal detachment, or increased risk of wet AMD. IZERVAY may temporarily increase eye pressure. Your vision may be impaired after an eye injection or exam. Don't delay. Ask your doctor about IZERVAY today.
IZERVAY gets GA going slower.
Visit IZERVAY.com. That's IZERVAY.com.
Hey, it's me time at Chula Vista. Time for you to pamper yourself. Wisconsin's most complete resort experience has everything you want. Fine-tuned for 70 years by four generations of the Kaminsky family, Chula Vista can be easygoing with colorful scenic river walks, 18 holes of classic golf, a relaxing spa, or you can go all out in 80,000 square feet of indoor water park. Ziplining through canyon views in Chula's Aerial Adventure Park. And dining comes any way you like it, from pizza to Wisconsin's number one ranked steakhouse. More than 600 guest rooms to choose from with $10 million in updates. Chula Vista, everything you've been wanting, all right here on site. Check it out at ChulaVistaResort.com.
Miles and miles of freshly groomed cross-country and hiking trails. Ski, sled, snowshoe. Warm up at our indoor water park. ChulaVistaResort.com.
News from the Center, WRCE.
Is there soon to be president insane in the membrane? I don't know. Maybe a little. I'm always going to listen to some Cypress Hill. A little bit more. Give it a little bit more airtime than I would some of my other intro music. I am a child of the 90s. I'm also your friendly lawyer, lady, and economist on the air here on Civic Media. We're all about real news and great conversation. A serious bit of breaking news. Just getting this coming across my phone, a notification, those three wildfires that are burning in California, not yet contained. Just saw a news update that firefighters are reporting that they may be running out of water. Oh, dear, dear. 30,000 people were given an evacuation order last night out of the Pacific Palisades. I've seen reports just as I came on air that two people have died. Man, climate change, it's an actual thing, as are water shortages throughout the Southwest. Certainly all of our hopes and well wishes for folks that are caught up in that very dire situation in California. But our topic today that we're going to spend a little time with and in and digging into is this dispute within the MAGA movement about H-1B visas. H-1B visas, just to recap, are for businesses to bring over highly skilled technical workers. Think mathematics, engineering, computer science, medicine, researchers, and they can stay for up to 6 years. For example, Elon Musk came on an H-1B visa. Now, for those of you who don't know anybody who's been through this process, I have a few friends who have. It's pretty freaking grueling. You have to get a company to sponsor your H-1B visa. There's an arbitrary cap on the number of these that will be issued every year by the U.S. government. There are some arbitrary limits to ensure sort of geographic diversity, but they don't... The actual practical operations can get a bit murky and complicated, but it's not the easiest thing. And I've had a few friends go through the process, can be quite daunting. And an employer, you know, you think about it, they have to really think that you're going to give them a lot of value add, right, to put in for an H-1B visa. I may spend a different day talking about some of the issues with how the program itself operates. both pros and cons, why it's needed, why business leaders think it's needed. But what you've got here is we've got, the nativist movement within the MAGA party, right? Which is immigrants are bad, basically without any nuance there. Like, that is the messaging. Of course, we're all immigrants in this continent, unless you are a First Nation person. But, setting that aside for the moment. Now, what happened around Christmas time was that Elon Musk and then Vivek Ramaswamy put out a series of tweets. Here's one of them. Quote, this is from Elon Musk. If you want your team to win the championship, you need to recruit top talent wherever they may be. There's a dire shortage of extremely talented and motivated engineers in America. You notice how he sticks in the "and motivated" part? It's like a dig on American workers. Here's Vivek Ramaswamy. The H-1B system is badly broken and should be replaced with one that focuses on selecting the very best of the best. Our American culture has venerated mediocrity over excellence for way too long. So Donald Trump, the pro-middle class, remember the two biggest pillars of Donald Trump's campaign was like, yay, middle class workers, and I'm for the workers, and no immigration, and immigrants are bad. Okay? What these guys are saying is basically like flipping the bird to both of those concepts, right? You got two billionaires basically saying American workers stink. Kind of a problem. And the tweets went on. They're a big, we need more H-1B employees. We can't get enough good people. Well, as you can imagine, this then led to an absolute firestorm from the right. Perhaps when it comes to nativist, racist, xenophobic, MAGA-isms, the standard bearer, pretty much Steve Bannon, right? I mean, that guy. So this is some of what Steve Bannon had to say in response to these tweets by both Elon Musk and Vivek Ramaswamy. Of course, these are the guys tapped by Donald Trump to lead the non-existent, quote, Department on Government Efficiency. Let's take a quick listen to the very first cut you got.
If you can work mathematical formulas in the engineering a complexity of sending a colony of human beings to Mars and keep them alive, you can work through the math on this, and you know it's a bald-faced lie. And here's how I know you know it's a bald-faced lie, because you cratered as soon as we got up in your grill. Oh, okay, fine. Well, I won't fight to the death. I'm not going to fight to the death in short kind of new types of warfare. Why don't we reform it? We need reform. Are you going to some BS answer, and you think we're going to buy that? Where did you come from, dude? Here's what you need to do. You need to study modern political history of the fights we've been through for 12 or 14 years to get to this spot. You think this is just because people are just wandering around? People have worked for over a decade pounding this. And that's how relentless the established order is.
Pounding what? Nativist, xenophobic, racist tropes and lies about immigrants. By the way, like, lest I forget to point this out, the people that are keeping you and your family from greater health, greater choices, greater economic freedoms aren't immigrants in this country. It's the billionaire class. So with the conflict now established, when we come back, we're going to start taking some of your calls and texts. 855-75-CIVIC. That's 855-752-4842. We're going to dig in to what the heck is really going on here. Is this actually about H-1B visas? Is this actually even about immigration? And why does it matter to you? All that and more coming up after these very brief messages and your farm update from our farm girl, Pam Yonke, right here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Keep it locked, y'all.
This is News from the Center, WRCE.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
Here in the Midwest, we're always looking, trying to pay attention to what's going on in South America and their crops. And as we start 2025, that is no different. I'm Ben Jarbo with the Midwest Farm Report. And with me is John Heinberg, a market advisor with Total Farm Marketing out of West Bend. And he's given us an update on what he has seen out of South America.
Biggest thing we're watching, northern Argentina, southern Brazil is in the middle of a bit of a dry pattern right at this time frame. Temperatures are on the rise. It's getting to the stage it could be starting to see some damage possibly happening and some yield losses in that area. Now, the biggest focus of the market is going to be around the 15th of January and watching those long-range forecasts. Right now, those forecasts are bringing moisture back into that region. If that occurs, basically this dry spell will be gone, and given the overall supply down there, will put pressure back on the marketplace. Now, if that area stays dry, maybe we get a little bit more weather premium in here.
Heinberg says that with the weather being as unpredictable as ever, this is just something that will leave us in a limbo for a little while, but we want to make sure once that January 15th date comes around that we are paying close attention to what's going on in South America. From the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Ben Jarbo, and we'll take a look at some agriculture news right after this.
What makes Dairyland Seed soybeans special? More. The next generation of Dairyland Seed brand Enlist E3 soybeans offer the most advanced trait technology available, setting a new standard for weed control and yield performance in the upper Midwest. Backed by a network of local dealers and direct access to the industry's leading agronomists, you get more on-farm support to help you get the most out of every seed you plant. More intelligent soybeans with more insights and information. That's the Dairyland Seed difference. Meet our 2025 lineup at DairylandSeedSoybeans.com.
Did you know soybean diseases like white mold and sudden death syndrome can survive in your soil even after rotating crops? Prevention of these diseases is a constant battle, and yield loss from an infection can be devastating. The right management plan makes all the difference. Keep your beans safe this spring with Heads Up Seed Treatment. Heads Up guards your seed from both white mold and SDS. Stay protected and profitable by asking your seed dealer for Heads Up. Learn more at headsupst.com.
Welcome back. Now let's take a look at some agriculture news for today. Recently, we here at the Midwest Farm Report teamed up with the Wisconsin Association of Fairs for the Every Person Has a Fair Story contest. We'd like to congratulate Linda Degner for her winning story, My Pink Ribbon. Thank you to all who participated. It was announced that Representative Travis Tranel of Cuba City has been reappointed as the chair of the Assembly Agriculture Committee. With a look at your agriculture news from the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Ben Jarbo.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
Partly cloudy and crisp today. High temperatures only climb to the low 20s and plummet to near 10 tonight. Waking up tomorrow morning, we could see some sunshine with clouds increasing and temperatures rising to the upper 20s. All ahead of some light snow moving in at night. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Currently, it's 23.
The possibility of lung cancer can be pretty scary, especially if you're one of approximately 8 million current or former smokers at high risk. That's why SaveByTheScan.org wants you to know that now there's a breakthrough low-dose CT scan that can detect lung cancer early, and it only takes 60 seconds. You stop smoking, now start screening. For an easy quiz to see if you're eligible, visit SaveByTheScan.org. It could save your life. SaveByTheScan.org is brought to you by the American Lung Association's Lung Force Initiative and the Ad Council.
Earl Ingram.
The Republicans and Donald Trump want to impose tariffs. They say it's going to bring in $2.7 trillion.
That's what they say when they're trying to justify a tax reduction. Those broad tariffs are not good for the average American.
You know, Sandy, I'm not a guy that knows anything about calculus and any of those things, but I do know how to add and subtract. They're adding to the national debt.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 to 10 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Dom Selvia.
Next time, Matt Rothschild will be my guest. Meta ends fact-checking, and is a NATO ally really a NATO ally if our president-elect threatens them with force? Tune in.
The Dom Selvia Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
It's been a long, a long
but I know a change gonna come. Oh, yes, it will.
Welcome, everybody. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. We are talking about the infighting within the MAGA movement, within the Trump-verse, over the what seems to be about the H-1B visa program. Recap briefly, Elon Musk said some really offensive things about American workers. Vivek Ramaswamy doubled down on that with respect to the need for more workers from abroad coming to the United States. These are technical workers on through the H-1B visa program. This then begat a huge backlash from the nativist, racist, xenophobic MAGA far right, the spokesperson of which is, of course, Steve Bannon. In response to all of this from Elon Musk and Vivek Ramaswamy, let's take a listen to this next cut. This is 1B, Cardi. Let's just take a listen to a little of the flavor that Steve Bannon is laying down. Now, he's talking about Elon Musk here. Keep this in mind.
They're making a lot of money, and they have control. And this is about money and power. It's not about race. It's not about gender. It's not about ethnicity. It's not about religion. That's what they want you to believe it is. So you're like a bucket of crabs at each other's throat. It's not about that. It's about money and power. And Karl Rove's going to get his 54 big donors down there. They're going to figure out how to stop Trump or how to compromise it. And they'll use Ted Cruz, or they'll use Little Marco, or they'll use Jeb Bush, or they don't care who they use. They'll throw up some chop block. They'll misdirect you. Look at this. Isn't that? There's some racism over there. You white folks, go look at that. That's a Fox specialty. We don't fall for that. So don't think you're going to come back and, oh, you know what? Well, what we need to do is increase it here and cut that cost there. Screw you, you clown. And then you got to suppress.
And he goes on and on and on. Let's take this very last cut of Steve Bannon. This is going to be 1D. 1D.
Was as we saw it. And he supported it. And for that, he gets a place at the table. There's no doubt. You should. It's a quarter of $1 billion in June, not an entire cycle, in 5 months. But that dinner with Sachs and that check from Elon came at Biden's, you know, when Biden, you know, in the debate or right before the debate, and Biden, you know, they kind of saw the numbers of where this thing was heading. They're recent converts. We love converts. Hell, I'm a Catholic. We used to be in the convert business. Not so much anymore. We can't keep what we got. But in the old days, you know, half the saints are missionaries. We love converts. But the converts sit in the back and study for years and years and years to make sure you understand the faith and you understand the nuances of the faith and understand how you can internalize the faith. Don't come up and go to the pulpit in your first week here and start lecturing people about the way things are going to be. If you're going to do that, we're going to get and we're going to rip your face off.
He's talking about Elon Musk, you know, the shadow vice president, Donald Trump's number one advisor. Okay, so what in the heck is going on here, y'all? 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. Is this really about immigration? Is this really about H-1B visas? It's kind of funny because Bannon seemed every blind squirrel will find a nut every once in a while. It's about the money and the power and the influence. I actually agree with the man on that. It's also about the xenophobia and the racism, right? Because that's what they use to trick middle-class Americans into thinking that Donald Trump and Elon Musk and his billionaire cabinet are actually looking out for you. That's how they sell it. And Steve Bannon, to disclaim that now, I mean, he's the nativist of nativists. Of course, it's about all of those things. How do you oppress the middle class and keep us working, moving, trickling up all the wealth? You make us afraid of people that don't have wealth and power and access, like the middle class. Let's go to the phones. Matt from Middleton. Is this actually about immigration, Matt?
Hey, Maggie. Thanks for what you do. Keep up the good work. We need you in the next 4 years. Look, this is all about the old Confederacy and the power players coming back to ruin America. We saw in the pandemic with the meat plants. This is the old Confederacy. They want slavery. You know, it's technically slavery when you're paid too little to survive and you have to work 12 hours a day. And the fight is really about Bannon and the white nationalists want jobs for white Christians. They don't care about the rest. And Musk wants good engineers and people who will take the pay that he'll give them and work insane hours. At Tesla, they have to come in the middle of the night sometimes whenever Musk calls them to do his little side jobs or whatever, and he pushes people very hard. A lot of engineers want the projects, they want the challenge, but they don't want to work like slaves. So that's the real fight, and I don't know how it'll play out, but I just wanted to, you know, voice that. This is the old Confederacy, and I hope they both fail. Thank you.
Thanks, man. Always appreciate you listening and calling. Doug, you're up next. What do you have to say? Is this even about immigration?
Hello?
Megan, yeah, hi, Doug. Yep, it is. Go ahead, sir.
This is about cheap labor, period. Okay, and there's a difference between the tech bros that are bringing in H-1 visa people and migrants who are choosing to come here and make a better life for themselves. Okay, when one person from any country that's a tech pro that's coming over, he is assigned to that company. If he quits, he's deported. Migrants have a choice. You see how it's a difference there?
Yeah, I do. Doug, I'm hearing you. The thing that I think is revelatory here is that the response from the MAGA base, which Steve Bannon is the ultra microphone for, is still immigration bad, right? There's not a distinction between a tech company or a medical engineering firm that is actually going to pay someone who comes here on an H-1B visa a six-figure salary, which, by the way, actually pushes up wages for American workers. They're not making a distinction between that and the U-lines, right? Let's be very clear. The U-line company run by Liz and Dick Eline, the number two right behind Elon Musk, donors to Donald Trump, who use the H-1B visa program allegedly illegally to bring warehouse workers here from Mexico, according to The Guardian, and pay them not American minimum wages, which isn't a minimum wage. It is a poverty wage, but they don't even pay them that. They pay them Mexican wages into their Mexican bank accounts and then send them back. There's no distinction about among or between any of this stuff. There's no actual discussion about the policies. Why? Because it's not actually about immigration. It's not actually about the middle class. What is it about? I'm going to get to that in just a second. How do we know it's not about immigration? One, because there's no actual discussion of any of the details and differences between these questions. Abusive labor practices by large companies, the abuse of the H-1B program by companies, the need for skilled tech workers, the need for higher wages for workers across the spectrum. They don't have those discussions. The need for migrant labor in the agricultural industry right here in Wisconsin. There's no discussion of it. We know it's BS because they don't ever talk about the actual policies. We know it because they lie about immigration all the time. They use scare tactics, xenophobia, racism, all of it. They're eating the pets. No, they're not. So, you know, if you're lying about it, if you don't talk about any of the actual policies, you know it's garbage. And we know it because of this. Donald Trump back in 2016 said unequivocally he's against the H-1B visa program. Let's listen to that sound. If you don't believe me about what he said, take it from him himself. This is during a 2016 presidential debate. Cardi, this is cut two.
The H-1B very well, and it's something that I frankly use, and I shouldn't be allowed to use. We shouldn't have it. Very, very bad for workers. And second of all, I think it's very important to say, well, I'm a businessman, and I have to do what I have to do, and it's sitting there waiting for you, but it's very bad. It's very bad for business in terms of, it's very bad for our workers, and it's unfair for our workers, and we should end it.
And we should end it. Trump in an interview with the New York Post just around Christmas time said this, quote, "I've always liked the visas. I have always been in favor of the visas. That's why we have them. I have many H-1B visas on my property." No, he doesn't. It's a different kind of visa. Because to like run your Mar-a-Lago property, you don't need engineers, just saying. But to get back to his quote, "I've always been in favor of H-1B visas. That's why we have them. I have many H-1B visas on my property. I've been a believer in H-1B. I've used it many times. It's a great program." So wait. It's unfair and very bad and we should end it, or it's a great program? He's got to be lying. Has to be lying. We know it, again, because of businesses like Uline who abuse the heck out of it. It has nothing to do with the H-1B visas. It has nothing actually to do with immigration because all they do is lie about it. By the way, U.S. deportations right now are at their highest level since 2014. It's according to ICE. Highest level since 2014. When was Donald Trump president? Oh, yeah, 2016 to 2020. Fact. So if it's a lie, if this isn't actually what it's about, if Trump is just stumbling all over himself because he actually knows that you have to have some sort of version of H-1B, but like the MAGA movement just hates all immigration because that's the bill of goods they were sold in Donald Trump's campaign. "I'm going to save the middle class. I'm going to make it great for all of you. Don't worry. I'm God. I'm the chosen one." And the reason it's terrible is immigration. Well, then all of it's bad, right? What is it actually about then? And all you need to look at is the line of billionaires currying favor with this president. It's weird, isn't it? Because it's like Elon Musk gives all this money, buys a communication platform to basically service Donald Trump. In return, he gets Donald Trump's ear. He gets to weigh in on policy. He's the one guy Donald Trump can't fire now, right? Like, oops, he's created a monster. You got the billionaire cabinet. Now you got Mark Zuckerberg saying, fact-checking. Who cares about fact-checking? Just let all the racism, homophobia, xenophobia, misogyny, just let that flourish on the book of faces. They're all giving them money for the inauguration. They're all currying favor. And in return, Donald Trump is going to do what? Because billionaires don't do things just because they feel good. Remember, billionaires have no political party. There's no RRD behind them. It's just a B. I'm a billionaire. So what is it that Donald Trump can deliver for these billionaires? Whether we're talking about H-1B visas or regulations or tax policy, or how about this? For example, Meta facing a huge lawsuit and investigation by the U.S. Department of Justice. You think Donald Trump might be able to do something about that? You think Donald Trump might be able to put in retaliatory tariffs if, say, for example, the EU doesn't agree that Meta and X can just operate without any fact-checking and just let the information swamp? I'm going to pick up right here when we come back because this matters to you. And it matters if this government, this federal government, this administration, and the state government is doing all it can for you and your family. Will Donald Trump fulfill his promises to the middle class? I think this kerfuffle, this battle within MAGA, gives us a pretty clear answer. I'll pick it up right there when we come back. I'm Maggie Dawn, your friendly lawyer, lady, and economist right here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Keep it locked, y'all. 855-75-CIVIC.
I could last for long, but now I think I'm able to.
You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. Legislation unveiled Monday by the New Hampshire Senate would change the state's four presidential electoral votes from winner-take-all to proportional, based on which party wins its two congressional districts. Gerrymander the districts, and you guarantee more votes for your presidential candidate. Senate Bill 11 would have New Hampshire join Maine and Nebraska as the only states which have proportional electoral votes, and would apportion them based on which party wins Congressional District 1 or 2. In November, the state's congressional seats went to Democrats, Representative Chris Pappas and newcomer Maggie Goodlander, yet the state House, Senate, governorship, and governor's executive council all went red, in large part to gerrymandered voting districts. Gerrymandered, except the districts for Congress. A 2022 proposal by the New Hampshire House Election Law Committee radically gerrymandered the districts, guaranteeing the District 1 congressional seat for Republicans. So radical, in fact, that Republican governor and possible presidential candidate Chris Sununu surprised his own party by vetoing the map and proposing his own competitive map similar to that of previous decades. New Hampshire's incoming governor, former U.S. Senator Kelly Ayotte, may not have such competitive compulsions. With a Republican House and Senate behind her, a gerrymandered congressional district could be a twofer for Republicans, both in New Hampshire and in the presidential race. I'm Brian Beal.
The Todd Alba Show.
What's going on in Washington today as we move into 2025? Have your antenna up. Don't rely on all the media sources, just your own wisdom, your own heart, your own gut. Listen to what they're saying about our friends and neighbors and family, because we innately know these people that we live with every day in our communities. Don't allow words and thoughts to tear us apart. Hold fast to that which we know, which is good.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local civic media radio station and on the app. News from the Center, WRCE.
You know, the day destroys the night, night divides the day. Try to run, try to hide, break on through to the other side. Break on through to the other side. Break on through to the other side, yeah.
Welcome, everybody. We're always trying to break through the BS and bring you the real scoop right here on the Maggie Dawn Show. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. We're all about real news and great conversation. Join this one, 855-75-CIVIC. That's 855-752-4842. Been talking about the battle royale that has been stewing and a-brewing within MAGA. About ostensibly, nominally, about H-1B visas. My thesis, my viewpoint that I offer each and every one of you is that it's never been about that. It's never been about immigration. And the evidence to support my viewpoint, I believe, is overwhelming. The fire hose of lies that are told by the right, depending on who you're talking to and what day the lies will change, but just volume by truckload of lies about immigration. No discussion of actual policy, no willingness to actually get anything done on this. Exhibit A, Donald Trump killing the bipartisan border bill because he wanted to run on this. This, because their brand has become nativist economic populism. There's no nuance. There's no demonstrable knowledge of policy by Donald Trump. We know this because some of his biggest donors abuse themselves the H-1B visa program, pay these folks that they claim are highly technical workers when they're just warehouse workers, below minimum wage wages, exploit the labor. So what is this all about? It's the corruption. Remember that old phrase, it's the economy, stupid? Would have been better to say this, it's the corruption, stupid. Isn't it weird, right? Like Donald Trump wants Elon Musk's money and support and his platform. He wants the information swamp out there. Why? Because the MAGA movement, what used to be the GOP is now the MAGA movement. Their stock in trade is lies. Am I saying that Democrats don't lie on occasion? No. But remember the rubric. The rubric is liar. Each of those letters stands for something. Is it a lie? Yes or no? What is the impact of the lie? What is the acuity of the lie? Excuse me. What is the intention of the lie? What is the acuity of the lie? And what is the result of the lie? When you actually start looking at the quality of the lie, there's just no comparing Democrats and Republicans. They're not Republicans anymore. It's MAGA. So Donald Trump wants Elon Musk's platform and money and support for his causes. Elon Musk wants government contracts to the tune of 15 plus billion a year. He's watched his wealth explode from 25 billion in 2020 to now 428 billion. They want less regulation. They want Donald Trump to punish countries that will not allow the misinformation, the information swamp and cesspool to go out in their country. They actually want to regulate tech. What are we actually talking about here? You notice who's lining up? It's the billionaire class and it's the tech bros. It's the crypto bros. Remember me talking about this? The billionaire bros, the tech bros, the crypto bros. I want less regulation. I want you to punish countries that try to regulate my business. I want you to give me unilateral control over the tools, the technology tools, the information platforms that will allow me to control the next century. And by the way, as I'm doing this, I'm going to exploit American families like yours. I'm going to exploit American children like your kids. I'm going to hook them on social media. I'm going to pump them full of food, things that aren't good for them. And I don't want you to regulate me. That's the bargain. And oh, by the way, the cherry on top of this baloney sundae is I don't want you to tax me. I want you to tax the middle class. That's how I want you to fund government operations. So put in those retaliatory tariffs, punish those foreign companies. Put that effective sales tax on the backs of the middle class and working people in this America while you give the billionaires and the richest of the rich corporations that don't need a single more penny in tax breaks, the biggest tax breaks that this country has ever seen. We have an oligarchy. That is what this is about. And by the way, Donald Trump is, of course, running every conceivable form of grift you can think of. And those that control big media, legacy media, and these information platforms are going to bury those of us who try to bring that information to you. It has always been about the money. Really interesting text from Jill from Madison. Thanks so much, Jill. She says she was an IT manager for the state of Wisconsin. Almost half her staff were from India on H-1B visas. Of course, the state government cannot sponsor visas, so this was through contracts, and those companies charged a premium while paying those people not much at all. A racket of rackets. The what's matter here, but remember, as we're having these policy debates, it's always about the money. Call it a kleptocracy, because that's what it's looking like, y'all. When we come back, we're going to turn the page, have a little fun, talk about resolutions and my commitment to play more this year, which means playing some board games. I'll share my favorites. Want to hear what yours are? Get on those lines. 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842, News Weather.
This is News from the Center, WRCE. Earl Ingram.
Join me on the next show. We'll talk about starting the new year off right with Omar the Pharmacist, and then we will talk about diversity, equity, and inclusion with attorney Roy Evans.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 till 10.
Uh-oh, Brad's buzzed.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, he's starting with the woots. And now a speech.
I just want to say that friendship is about heart. Heart and brain. Who's with me?
Good thing is, he knows when he's buzzed.
And my brain is saying, when it's time to go home, somebody call me a ride.
Love that guy.
Me too.
Know your buzzed warning signs? Call for a ride when it's time to go home. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us. This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.
This is a special report from ABC News. California wildfires, I'm Michelle Franzen. Fire crews say they cannot keep up with four major wildfires burning in Southern California, driven by hurricane-force wind gusts and bone-dry conditions. The Palisades Fire, just outside of Los Angeles, now the most destructive in Los Angeles city history. At least 1,000 homes and buildings destroyed. The loss overwhelming for residents who fled and are hearing there's little or nothing left of their homes.
I just called my first neighbor who's our best friend and lost his home, and all that's left is a chimney.
President Biden issued a disaster declaration after getting briefed on the historic firestorm. LA City Fire Chief Kristen Crowley.
It's an active firefight with our firefighters, and they're doing their very best to protect our people within this area.
At least two deaths confirmed. Schools and businesses shuttered, including Hollywood Productions and the NHL, postponing a Los Angeles Kings home game. This is ABC News.